This is a podcast from Minute Media.
This is Stacking the Box with NFL insider Matt Verderam and Mark Carman. About damn time. That is right, Gonzo. Good morning, everybody, and welcome into Stacking the Box 2022 with our NFL insider and my buddy, my pal, who we're about to learn about because we were just doing our pregame show. And I learned about Matt Verderam in ways that I have never had before. Verdi, happy new year, buddy. Sorry about your Chiefs. That was epic. I believe if we could rewind, I believe you were the most confident you've ever been that the Chiefs were just going to kill the Bengals and it didn't happen. Would you like to out yourself and just remind everybody that you had this in the win column and it just did not happen?
I don't remember quite having that opinion. I thought they would win. I definitely picked the Chiefs to win the game. I don't remember being as confident as I've ever been. I think that's a stretch, but you know what? That was a phenomenal game by Ja'Marr Chase. Like one of the greatest performances legitimately I've ever seen on an NFL field. Burrow was excellent. Give the Bengals all the credit in the world. They found the way to win that game. I will say if you're a Chiefs fan, you want to picket officiating for the rest of time after the way that game went down. But the Chiefs lost the game, and deservedly so. So give the Bengals all the credit. They're going to be an interesting team to watch in the playoffs. We're going to get to them. They're going to be an interesting team. They have a lot of offensive firepower. And Burrow's kind of got that it factor about him. He doesn't care, man. He'll stand in there, take a shot, deliver the ball. He really was very impressive.
You know, he gets hurt at the end, and I'm nervous. And then you see him in the post game locker room, and he's dancing around. Yeah, so hopefully, all is good there. Our guy Gonzo is putting in the chat: the Chiefs need Antonio Brown badly. Who I know you want to talk about today, Verder. I'm kidding. We are going to talk.
I don't. We're gonna. But I'm so sick of talking about this clown show. I really am. I just don't understand how anybody could want that guy on the team, on any team. Like I understand that he's a talented player. He's not a great player anymore. Like he's fine. He's a good receiver. He can be a difference maker in spots. I'm not denying that. Like he's certainly talented, but is his remaining talent worth the headache? And for people who say, well, it's only 1 month, ask the Raiders how 1 month went. Ask the Pats how 13 days went. Like the idea that it's just some guarantee that he's going to go in there and be fine for a month, month and a half. I mean, have fun with that. Vax, you know, fake vax cards and it's stripping as he's quitting the team. I mean, it's insanity what's gone on with him.
It is. And couple things. Number one, Gonzo, I knew you were kidding about bringing Antonio Brown to the Chiefs, but if you believe what's being reported out there, that there apparently might be some interest in Antonio Brown. But what's true or not, and I'll get back to the Chiefs in a second, but let me just say this about AB. This is ultimately on him. You have to grow yourself up in life. You have to become an adult. Nobody gets perfect parenting. At some point, you have to see your gaps and become ideally a professional. How's that? And a good person, which Antonio Brown has got light years to go to. But this is also about the enablers out there. All right. Yep. I mean, when you go back to, I bet he was being coddled along with a zillion other athletes with a ton of talent.
High school on,
maybe even junior high. Coddled in just different ways from, you know, people get pushed through school. People get pushed through, in this guy's case, their issues. Hey, dude, will you be better tomorrow? Versus, and Bruce Arians, you said you didn't want this dude. You knew you didn't want him. And you caved to Tom. And then the dude goes fake vax card. You don't care. More enabling. We prioritize winning way too freaking much, and I know it's professional sports, but let me restate that it's not we prioritize winning But in the cases like this, you end up losing. It's very rare that a guy like this ever works out. You think you're prioritizing winning, but it's so short-sighted. It's very rare that you get a Randy Moss in New England who we misread, and Randy, you know, perfect dude was in the right situation. You saw it. He performed. Or say a Dennis Rodman. Let's flip to my Bulls love. That guy in most situations doesn't work. In Chicago with Phil Jackson, who lets him go get drunk in Vegas, and then you got Jordan to go get him and whatever else, it can work. It's still going to end bad. AB, most guys, isn't what even if it's, talents we're trying to win. It never ends. Very, 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 I shouldn't say never, but very rare. And don't enable people. That's all I'm saying. To your best friends or to whoever. It's a bad way to go about life.
Fine. But, you know, I'll also say, and this is probably an unpopular opinion, but I don't care. Okay? Look, everybody running around on Twitter, and I'm sure it's on TV, although I haven't seen it on TV, but I'm sure there have been some commentary about it, how you can't take a shot at him, you can't criticize him because, you know, he's got a mental health issue. First of all, how the hell do you know he's got a mental health issue? Maybe he's just an asshole. I mean, does that exist anymore? Like, people are just jerks sometimes. Then maybe he does have a mental health issue. You know, then you get the people who, to me, are really irresponsible, who are just like, well, CTE. First of all, you can't diagnose CTE unless somebody's passed away. Okay? Maybe, maybe not, but, like, to just go there is irresponsible and gross in some ways. As far as mental health stuff, look, clearly there's an issue, but some people are just jerks. They are. Like, some people are just bad dudes, man. And quitting a football team doesn't make you a bad dude. It makes you a bad teammate. Doesn't make you a bad individual. But there is a mound of evidence that he is a bad dude. Just straight up. I mean, we don't have to relitigate his entire life. You go look at all the stuff. Go read his Wikipedia page and then do your own research, okay? Like, there is hordes of information on why.
And videos.
Yeah, videos. I mean, he's a bad dude, man. Like, let's just call it what it is. And these people who are like, well, you know, you got to get him the help he deserves. Why the hell do I have to get him the help he deserves? It's not my damn problem. Like, he should get himself some damn help. Or, as you said, and you're right, the people that are closest to him should be like, hey, AB. You need help, man. You need help, like real help. Not like, hey, sit down with a sports psychologist for 2 weeks. Like real help. But and to your point, Carm, and you're bang on, NFL teams, right or wrong, do not care. They do not care. They're looking at him going, can he perform? And this year he had 545 yards in 7 games. He's not the player he once was, but he's still a very good football player. And teams will just look, there's an old saying, the more talent you have, the more slack you will get. Well, he's gotten an inordinate amount of slack in his career because he's talented. He's really talented. But at this point, like, if you're a team, should the Buccaneers release him, because he's not been released yet, should the Bucs release him, is he worth signing? If you're the Packers, if you're Kansas City, if you're Buffalo, like, is he worth the nonsense and the headache? And for everyone who says, well, it's just a month. He lasted New England for 13 days. Go ask the Raiders how a month with Antonio Brown is. Like, it could be fine. It could be nuclear by the time the playoffs start. Like, you have no idea what the hell is going to happen. I think, look, everybody wants to make excuses and give him a reason. Well, you know, you got to support the guy. And look, he's a grown man. And his friends should be looking out for his best interests. But that doesn't mean it's out of bounds to say he's acting like a dope and he's conducted himself as such. And he should pay the consequences for it should teams decide, hey, we don't want to deal with it. Well, then that's his problem. He put himself in that position, nobody else.
Of course he did. And I get yelled at because, what's Joshua? On the college side, you know, if you're a school that, you know, everyone's like, oh, you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, right? Yeah. However we can win national championships or be in the conversation, let's do it. Versus actually having integrity about how you go about your business. And then it gets professional sports. It gets even wonkier. It's the pros, man. Who cares what their character is? These are hired guns. They're here to win. But there's just a part of me, man. I like to win with good people. I like to win with people that deserve it. And I will lose going down with those dudes rather than feel like I won because I kissed the devil to do it. I'm not saying that Antonio Brown is the devil, but he ain't great. So, you know, end of the day, you look at yourself in the main life. I think it's an important thing. Let me just touch on the Chiefs and the rewinding back to the officials. 3rd and 27, Ja'Marr Chase is running one on one. They pick it up.
That's the game.
That's the game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes.
I mean, yes. So.
Yeah.
And I understand, like, everything else. But the dude's having one of the all-time great games in the history of the NFL. He's running one-on-one. I don't think you can look at anything else other than that.
That's where it starts.
And
it probably ends.
You can also look at, I think, like just strategic-wise. Maybe you just let him score, man. They're sneaking down to the goal line. You got Patrick Mahomes, the Kansas City damn Chiefs. You got to know that's – the odds are extremely, extremely good that they are going to score. So what are your best odds to get it back? If you ran it through some smart mathematicians, what's your best odds here? Probably to let them score and get it back and go get a touchdown and go to overtime. I would think mathematically wise that would add up.
Maybe. I will defend Andy Reid on this. I thought if they don't get a bogus hands to the face penalty in the end zone, they stopped them. The Chiefs stopped them. I mean, I can't kill the Chiefs because they did it. They stopped them at the goal line. I mean, they stopped them twice. And now, look, the one penalty I think was legitimate. The other one I do not think was legitimate. So I think Kansas City actually, to Reed's credit, I think they were justified in what they did at the goal line. Now, could make the case the other way, but that's my feeling on it. Now, I will, Carl, I 100% agree with you. 3rd and 27 is the football game. I mean, you just cannot. It's a corner of the damn field, as Nick Wright pointed out on Fox Sports the other day, or your good buddy and somebody that I enjoy listening to. It's a corner of the field. You have 3rd and 27. And not because they doubled him and he made an unbelievable play, but because the Chiefs were just like, that's all right, one-on-one again. Why not? Look, I am a huge Steve Spagnuolo guy. I have been dating all the way back to when I was in my high school days and he was with the Giants. He's a really good coordinator. That is the dumbest call of the entire NFL season for any team. The dumbest. That's like Greg Williams-esque, like a cover zero blitz and letting a guy get free on like a Hail Mary attempt. It was impossibly stupid to do that. But look, there's a lot of things. I mean, the Chiefs dropped passes. They had a kickoff return brought back that went for a touchdown on a penalty and a good call, by the way. They had multiple third downs where they converted. And they had to go back because they took penalties. Look, the officiating at the end of the game was a sideshow. It was. I mean, the hands to the face should not, it was not a penalty. There was a call on the drive before that extended a touchdown drive where Lajarius Sneed literally did not even touch Ja'Marr Chase and was called for pass interference. And that's a drive where the Chiefs would have gotten the ball back up 4 with like 10 minutes left, you know, so. But that all said, we all know that this is true. When you play a game and you let it be close, the officials then become a factor. Maybe it helps you, maybe it hurts you, but that's the way it goes. The Chiefs had 3 separate 14-point leads in the first half of that game. That game should have been over, put away and done with early in the game. And Kansas City, by its own volition, with no help of the officials, left them in and left them in and left them in and left them in, and they paid for it. And now the question, Carm, is would you take the Chiefs to go to the Super Bowl, assuming they're the 2 seed and they got to play 3 games, or would you take somebody else now, maybe the Titans, who only have 2 games, 2 home games?
So I think it's very hard to bet on Tennessee just when you look at the talent of Kansas City and you look where the Titans are at and what's Derrick Henry going to be. But I got to tell you, right now you're lined up to play the Chargers in week 1, and then Who do you get in it's you just made you
probably
made it a lot.
Buffalo, I would think.
Probably Buffalo. You just lined up a way tougher road. Way tougher.
I agree with Joshua, who says in the chat, the Chargers are the worst case for the Chiefs. They are. The Chargers, that is not an easy football game. Now, I will say this. I would pick Kansas City to win the game, but they could lose it. They could absolutely lose it. That game, like, Herbert's a great quarterback. They've got two great receivers. They've got the best receiving back in the NFL. They've got Derwin James, who can limit Kelce. I mean, let's not forget, Kelce's game against the Chargers was unbelievable. He had one catch when Derwin James was in the game. Like, the offense went crazy when James went out with a hamstring injury. But until then, the Chiefs' offense was good when James was in the game, but Kelce did nothing. Then all of a sudden, James goes out and the Chiefs just went nuts. But I agree with Gonzo saying that. Look, the Chargers could beat the Chiefs in a close game, and I could see that happening. I could also see the Chiefs winning that game 42-17. The Chargers are just as bizarre as any team in football. That's why, by the way, and we're gonna get to that game later here when we have Peter Dewey coming on, who's in for Ben Heisler this week. That Raiders-Chargers game, anything imaginable is on the table in that game. Anything. I could see the Raiders killing them. I could see the Chargers killing them. I could see that game coming down to some guy missing a 22-yard field goal. Like, anything is possible in that game. I'll tell you right now, if you're the Chiefs, in my opinion, you're assuming the Colts beat the Jags. Because if the Jags win, then there's a million scenarios. But, I mean, look, the Colts are like a 17-point favorite. Assuming they win, you're going to either get the Chargers or you're going to get the Colts, I believe that maybe there's some other weird scenario, but that's almost certain. You're a Chiefs fan, you want the Colts in the worst way, in my opinion. The Colts, to me, that is by far the easier road. But we'll see.
You holding on any hope on the Texans?
No, not really. I mean,
Texans play the Texans for those who don't know. And of course, Chiefs are with Tennessee, but Tennessee's got the head-to-head advantage, so they've got the one seed right now.
I will say this. I do not think Houston's going to win that game. But you know how, Carm, sometimes you watch a team like the Giants last week who are just dogs. I mean, they are just laying down at this point. It's beyond over. I will give the Texans this. They will play hard in that game. They have played hard all year long. Like, I do think the Texans will give an honest effort. I just don't think it's going to be near enough. But I think they will try. I don't think it's going to be one of these games where there's a bags packed ready to go home. They're a young team. David Culley's done a nice job of keeping their interest. I mean, they beat the Chargers a couple weeks ago, and they played the Niners tough for three quarters. Like, I do think they'll play hard. I just don't think it's going to be enough to win.
Let's take a look at the NFC. And San Francisco, hey, way to go, Trey Lance. A little plucky at the end of the season here. Getting a nice win, and feels wide open, man. Outside of the fact that Green Bay, this is your best chance to do it, and if you don't do it, it's going to be hard to live with for Aaron Rodgers and company up there. You are the one seed. You can rest your players this week. You're going to have a bye. I just said wide open. I mean wide open outside of the pack. Like, they are a prohibitive favorite at this point, I would say.
I can't call that wide open, man. The Packers are so – if the Packers don't get to the Super Bowl this year, it's going to be the worst loss of Rodgers' career.
Hands down. So who do you think is in two side here, who is the number 1-2, if you will?
Tampa.
You think Tampa?
Yeah, I do, because of who the quarterback is. That's why.
Okay.
That son of a bitch is liable in any game to go for 400 yards and five touchdowns. And, you know, hey, man, you could see it, couldn't you? Like, couldn't you just see a game where Brady goes up there, he's played cold weather his whole career, and he's just picking apart the linebackers, and he's picking on Kevin King, and he's picking on Eric Stokes, who's been good as a rookie, but he's a rookie, okay? And he's just going at him, and they're dumping it off the Fournette, and he's just 3rd and 5, 3rd and 2, 3rd and 4, and he's just picking it up. And all of a sudden, you look up, and you're like, oh, my God, they're up 28-24 at the 2-minute warning. Like that, he is more than capable of winning that. Like, I wouldn't pick them to win, but, man, counting him out, like, who else am I taking? Matt Stafford, who looks like garbage the last month and a half. I'm not taking him. The Cowboys, who all of a sudden just can't score a point unless they're playing Washington, I'm not taking them, although I do think they're dangerous. The Cardinals, they're not going to Lambeau Field and winning that game. So I'm out on everybody else. By the way, just to quickly answer in the chat here, Ed asking, does Cincy rest their players this week? I think so, Ed. I think they will, yes. I'd be surprised if they don't. They're a three or a four seed, essentially, if the Chiefs win on Saturday. So I don't think it matters to them. I think they'll take a bye.
They should definitely sit Joe Burrow. Let whatever's going on with his knee heal up. You know, the Bucs, Verram, you're talking about, at least how the way it sits right now, you got to beat the Niners, which is no gimme. Granted, it's at home.
No, but they'll beat the Niners. They're not. You think Brady's losing a Garoppolo with a chipped hand and all the rest of it?
Unlikely, but the 49ers are playing their best football of the year, right? I'm just, okay, that's fine. They'll probably be a touchdown favorite in the game, and I would assume they'll win. But then they got to go play the Rams on the road the way it stands right now. And Matthew Stafford's gotten worse as the year's gone on, but that's no gimme. They're going to be in his face,
it's
man.
It's not. I guess I just, man, I'm a big believer in the playoffs. Who the hell, who is your quarterback? Like, it's kind of like in the NBA in the playoffs. You know, you get these teams throughout the regular season, like the Knicks kind of last year, who, like, it's just great collection of guys, and they're working together, and everything's great. And then you get in the playoffs, and you're like, all right, but the Knicks don't have a top 20 player in the league, and Trae Young's going to just murder them because he can't stop them. I feel like in the NFL, you get to the playoffs, especially this day and age, it's a little different than it used to be. Like, you just put the ball in your quarterback's hand, go, all right, stop them. Like, that's what's going to happen. You're not so worried about balance and setting a team up. And it's your quarterback. It's your coach. Look, McVay's excellent. Like, I don't think McVay is going to be the issue. But Stafford's a mess, man. Like, and he's never won a game that matters, ever. Like, I just think, in the end, Brady is going to do whatever it takes to win those couple of games. And by the way, they're still really talented. It's not like the Bucs are some garbage dump of a team. Like, I still think they're going to get to the NFC title game. Okay, I still think they're going to be a problem. And by the way, I still think for the Packers, you'd rather play anybody else. Now, I would take the Packers. I would take the Packers. But I would take anybody else before Tampa if I'm Green Bay.
I just look, and maybe it's just much of a week-to-week reaction. The Jets ran all over the Bucs last week. 150 yards. Everyone's getting chunk plays. But this is I didn't think the Bucs were going to win it last year, and their defense has not been near the same that it was last year, which is, by the way, the biggest reason, of course, everybody remembers, I think, that that's why they won. It wasn't like Brady was, you know,
Brady stung a lot of playoffs. But no, you're so, right. But I just, it's like if Jordan had made the playoffs with the Wizards, and it was a game, and there's a game seven. And you'd be like, you know what? Like, they're probably not going to win because they're the Wizards. But, like, that son of a bitch go for 60. Like, you don't know what the hell is going to happen. Like, he's terrified.
Unless Scottie Pippen shows up with a migraine. I feel really good that I got to take a shot at Pip on the show today. All right. Let's move it along here. Last thing before we get into the topics, because we were talking before the show, and I think this is funny. Have you ever had not anywhere close to the level – quitting on your team, taking off your shirt, throwing your gloves and everything else into the stands, doing jumping jacks. But, Verderam, what's your most Antonio Brown-like moment? And I'll give mine. Which is,
so I've never had one to the extent that we saw from Antonio Brown. That was really special. But in high school, I did play baseball. I did play hockey. And my first varsity hockey game, if anybody's familiar with hockey, you know, I was a center, so I'm in front of the net, and one of their defensemen, and they're our main rival, by the way, so the game's already keyed up enough. Kid was taking his stick, and he's putting it in my back, like kind of like across my back, and pushing down hard, like into my back, and then down, trying to basically get my hockey pants, like to kind of slide a little on you. It's just, if you've ever played hockey, it's a pain in the ass. So I turned around after the first, you know, the whistle or whatever, and basically said a few choice words to him. I was like, look, man, knock it off. So, you know, same thing. And, you know, they don't call it in front of the net. He's cross-checking me. They're not calling it. So I waited until he focused on the puck going around the boards, and he kind of took a stride or two away from the net, and I got behind him, and I just took my stick like you would chop down a tree with an axe, and I hit him as hard as I could in the Achilles, man. I mean, I hit him. I don't want to say like a baseball swing, because that would imply I went like behind my back, but it was like about a halfway, and I drilled him as hard as I could, right above where the skate protection ends. And, you know, in the shin guards, a lot of shin guards, they don't have the protection in the back. So it was that little area, that media, and I hit him as hard as I could. And he collapsed like a building that was imploded. And I did get a penalty. And I remember coming off, I got 2 minutes for slashing, which was, I was thankful it was only two and not four. And I went off, and I remember my coach, he leaned in because he had told us for the game, don't take penalties, don't take penalties. Right? It was like 5 minutes in. And he's like, look, Verderam, if we don't kill this penalty, it's your ass for the rest of the game. You will not play another second for the rest of this game. Like, you're a rookie on the varsity team. You'll never. Thankfully, they did not score.
You were enabled to the whole point of AB. That's terrible by the coach. It shouldn't be whether they score or not. You as Gatto was saying, incriminate stuff, which just did. Just totally, hey, listen, long enough ago, and Verham just
15 years ago.
Yeah, and you lost yourself in the moment. You basically assaulted someone. But it's in the game of hockey, and that happens all the time. So
I didn't hit him in the head. I hit him in the leg. He's fine. By the way, for the record, he hobbled off, but he came back. Here's the funny postscript to this. The following year, the teams merged. Our teams merged. We became really good friends.
Hey, there you go.
It worked out. We laughed about it after the fact, right? But he was a good dude. Good dude. But I got to tell you, though, Carm, 15 years ago, and if I had to do it all over again, I'd have done the same thing. Because let me tell you, the rest of that game, he wasn't doing that anymore in front of the net. And we won 4-2. I had an assist. It was wonderful. Okay? So if I was in a men's league, which I'm hoping to join here this spring, if COVID doesn't ruin everything, if I'm in a men's league and some guy does that to me again, I'm going to hit him in the back of the leg again. That's how you get a little bit of space in the game of hockey. There's nothing wrong with taking a penalty to get yourself space for the rest of the afternoon.
Mike, Zach, when you're clipping out the issue this week, please put this one in there. That is a warning to all people in Rockford, Illinois, in the men's league, that Verham's coming for you if you try to take down his pants.
You play fair, we play fair. You try to cross-check me in the back, you're getting a little bit of a, you know, hockey blade to the Achilles. You'll be all right. I'm not trying to rupture an Achilles, but you know, you have a black and blue, you're sore for a couple days, fine, so be it.
There you go. Mine is a lot less, and I don't even want to tell my story now because it makes me sound pathetic, because you're doing big things on the rink. But, you know, as diehard Carm fans might know out there in Stack of the Box, I used to be a huge recreational hooper, but now in my old age, I'm a big tennis guy, which I wish I would have played a lot more when I was younger, but neither here nor there. So, you know, you're supposed to keep your composure on the court, Verderam. And I've had my moments with people across the court when they're doing BS, but
that's right.
Every now and then, when I was growing up, that was the McEnroe era, and all these kids were, you know, you were encouraged to be a diva out there and act like a complete moron. But now I'm in my 40s here. Carm, control yourself. There's about three times a year, after missing my 8,000 forehand and or backhand or whatever in some match, I end up flinging my racket against the back wall, and it is so freaking embarrassing because you got some of us over there. They know that you're completely rattled. They don't want to even look at you, and I don't even want to think about myself and just walk out of there. So just for
what the hell's wrong with you?
For 2022, I'm just going to be able to take deep breaths and move forward. Why am I getting feedback every now and then? Are you doing something over there? Is that a Verderam? No, that's not you. Okay. Hey, our guy Dewey is ready to jump in here. Bet-sided as we go to our six games this week, the final week. Sitting in for Ben Heisler. Peter, thanks for making time, brother. Good to see you.
Yeah, guys. Thanks for having me on.
We're starting with a doozy here, although I mean, the Chiefs, I guess, are trying to keep themselves in position with a Saturday night extravaganza with the Denver Broncos. There you go. Everybody loves Kansas City, a 10-point favorite on the road. Low number at 44. Nobody thinking that the Broncos are going to find the end zone. Pete, we start with you on all these. So what do you think here? Who are you taking, KC and Denver?
Yeah, this is a tough one, Carm, because obviously the Chiefs have a ton to play for. The Broncos have nothing to play for. Probably going to see Drew Locke with Teddy Bridgewater still in the concussion protocol. So Broncos offenses look absolutely terrible with Drew Locke under center. Some of it not his fault. Some of it the fact that they had so many guys out due to COVID last week. But this is a game where I think Kansas City can kind of run away with this one. They obviously need this win if they want any chance of getting that number one seed in the AFC. And if you look at the Broncos, this year they are the best team in the NFL at hitting the under in games. They're 12-4 on unders this year, and 11 of their 16 games have finished with a total under 44 points. I think there's two plays I actually kind of like in this game. I think I like the Broncos or the Chiefs to cover the 10 in this game. I just don't think Denver has anything to play for. I think Vic Fangio is going to probably be on his way out at the end of the year. And I like the under in this game. The Chiefs held the Broncos just 9 points the last time they played. It was a 22-9 game. I think we see a similar type of scenario where Kansas City kind of dominates and then can coast, and the Broncos offense just can't get going.
I'll be short and sweet. I agree on both plays. I think, first of all, by the way, when you get a team like Denver who's playing for nothing, business decisions are made the last week or two of the season. Like, guys, do I really want to risk having a surgery in the offseason? Not really. Like, maybe I don't lower my shoulder on that running back. Maybe I just kind of shove him and hope he falls over. You know, like, look, Denver will I think, put together a decent defensive effort because they are a very good defense. Drew Locke is just liable to throw two picks and get sacked 4 or 5 times. Like, I think it's one of these games where it's going to be 24-9, you know, something like that. Like, the Chiefs will just kind of sit on the football and take the air out of it late in the game. I will say, though, there's also a scenario here where the Chiefs try to do anything they can to blow them out early and then just sit guys. Like, that is also in play. Like, I could see Andy being like, look, we're going to try to do whatever we can to get up 20 points in this game and then just grab a seat. But I agree. I think the Chiefs will cover, and I think they will go under because I don't think Denver's going to score 10 points in this game.
Is this line moved a lot, Peter? Or does
It was at 10.5. It's gone down to 10. I think just like, okay, when you get double-digit spreads with the hook, obviously people are going to take that. But, I mean, I just don't – like Matt said, I can't get behind the Broncos at all in this spot. They have literally nothing to play for. It's so tough.
79% of the money's on the Chiefs, and nobody has bet the Chiefs better this season than right here at the Carm. Thank you very much. I had the Bengals last week because everybody loved Kansas City. It is scary to say Denver this week, but I would have the Broncos based on how I bet the Chelsea season long. All right, let's go to Indian and Jacksonville. Colts got to have it, and everyone thinks they're going to have it. 15.5 points on the road. And another great play this year is betting against Jacksonville because they have just been absolute. What's their record against the spread here, Peter? Because it's got to be brutal. The number's 44.
It's really bad. Jacksonville's 4-12 against the spread so far this year, so they're the worst team in the NFL. And last week, we saw a similar number when they played the Patriots. I stayed away from that one just because New England lost two games coming in, didn't really know how it was going to go, and obviously we all saw how that game went with the Patriots blowing them out. So I like the Colts in this spot. Obviously, like you said, Carm, they need this game. They have to win this game. It makes their lives a thousand times easier if they just go take care of business against the worst team in the NFL. And you look at Jacksonville, they do not defend the run well. They allow the eighth most rushing yards in the NFL. I think Jonathan Taylor is going to be able to roll against them. And the Colts, they had some COVID issues the past couple weeks. They're 3-0 against the spread as a double-digit favorite this year. So this is their fourth game as a double-digit favorite. Division game, but we've seen how bad Jacksonville's been. I think Indy rolls in this one.
There's a part of me that wants to say that Jacksonville makes this an interesting game because Jacksonville has actually played the Colts really well in recent years. Like, they won one game last year. They beat the Colts. They almost beat them in Indianapolis this season. That being said, I believe strongly in, like, the desperation portion of these games late in the year. Jacksonville, nobody's had a more miserable year. That team, everybody and their mother is waiting to just speed out of the parking lot and be done with the season. I think the Colts are just going to kill them. I think it's going to be one of these games where it's like 31-3 and that's it and they go home. So while there is a part of me that kind of thinks Jacksonville's interesting as an underdog just to cover, I'll take Indy. I think Indianapolis just rolls them. But I also think the under, by the way, here, because I don't think Jacksonville could score points.
To all the Stag in the Box listeners out there who play Jacksonville, you have my respect. It is a huge moment. I mean, when you step up into the well or your whatever your phone, say Jacksonville, congratulations. That's big time. All right, Tennessee and Houston, all there for the Titans to be the one seed. They're an 11-point favorite, as they should be. 43, which is of course indicative of exactly the way they play football. What do you like the most here, Peter?
Yeah, I'm not going to be too fun this week, guys. I'm not really rooting for many points. My play in this game is the under 43, and really it comes down to a couple things. Texans, one, they struggled to run the ball last week against San Francisco, led to them only scoring one touchdown. I think they're going to have a similar problem against Tennessee, allows just 4 yards per carry this season. And then you look at the other thing for the Texans in this game. They're playing against a Titans team that has, I don't trust to cover a double-digit spread on the road, but they've played 5 of their last 6 games under this number. So you got the Titans have won games by ball control, try not to turn the ball over. You're playing a lesser opponent. I think they just try and run them into the ground in this game. And 43, like, we're banking on Davis Mills to put up a lot of points. I know he's had some good games this season, but I think the Tennessee, the fact that they can get the one seed in this game, they're not going to mess around. They're going to try and come out and win this game. So I like them. I like the under in this game. I don't love Tennessee minus 11, but if that was the side I was going to pick, I would probably take that side as well.
I'm actually going to say that I think Houston stays in this game. I don't think they're going to win the game, but Houston has played really hard all year long. And we talked about it earlier before you joined, Peter. I think the one thing for the Texans, like, you look at the Giants, you'll get Jacksonville. Those teams are just cooked. Those teams, you could give me a 30-point spread, I might go the other way. The Texans, they've played hard every game. Like, they just beat, and they beat the hell out of the Chargers 2 weeks ago. You know, they went to San Francisco. They hung in that game. I don't think they're going to win. But I would not be surprised with 10 minutes to go in the game if you're like, oh, my God, is Tennessee going to blow this? Is this possible? Are they going to lose this game? Because the one thing that scares me with the Titans, they don't have the offense to run away. And when you leave a team in the game, then all of a sudden it becomes one of those, like, well, what the hell? We're already in the game. Let's just try to win it. You know, that's why I think Denver and the Jags are in deep trouble in these games. Because the Chiefs and the Colts, especially Kansas City, they have the offense to just make it like, ah, the hell with this. We're getting killed anyway. Let's just go home. Whereas I don't know that Tennessee can do that. Like, I could see it being like 17-13 in the fourth quarter. And at that point, if you're Houston, you're like, well, what the heck? Let's end it on a high note. Let's just beat them. I think Tennessee wins, but I think they fail to cover the spread. I think it's a one-score game.
Davis Mills, a sleeper MVP candidate, according to Cheeto Freak. Love it.
Huge.
That's a big-time jump in. Cheeto Freak, we missed you. Thanks for being back. All right, let's go to Pittsburgh and the Ravens. Baltimore, of course, banged up and no more disappointing team, at least in my mind, not being in the playoffs, although they are still mathematically alive here. But 5 losses in a row, they're done. But they are a 3.5-point favorite, and say goodbye to Big Ben, all that. 42 is the number here. Peter, what do you got?
Yeah, I'd love to get your guys' take on the Steelers this year, because I am just – Mike Tomlin has done a fantastic coaching job, because I think this team stinks. I cannot believe that they've won 8 games at this point. I think the Browns mailed that game in last night, just absolutely were like, oh, we're all set. We're out of the playoffs. Let's just let them win. I'm going to take the Ravens in this spot, and I know that's probably going to be an unpopular play purely because we don't know if Lamar Jackson is going to have any chance of playing. And obviously they've lost a bunch of games, but they've covered in 3 of their last 4, and they covered against the Packers and the Rams, kept both those games relatively close. The only game they didn't cover was the Josh Johnson game. So if Tyler Huntley's able to play quarterback, I actually like them to stay in this game. He has a very similar skill set to Lamar Jackson. They don't really have to change too much offensively. Not saying that he is Lamar Jackson, but you can get away with it there. Mike Tomlin's very good as a road dog. But I think the Ravens in this spot, both these teams need to win if they want any prayer at staying alive in this playoff picture. I think I got to go with the Ravens. I just don't think the Steelers are a good enough football team, and I doubt Big Ben can attack the Ravens secondary the way Joe Burrow and some of these other quarterbacks have.
The Steelers suck. The Ravens also suck. So I'll take the points and just say I think Pittsburgh stays within a field goal, maybe they even win. I will say, though, it's going to be fascinating. If the Colts, by some miracle, lose that game to Jacksonville, these two teams are suddenly unbelievably alive. Like, I almost am here for it. Like, if Wentz throws four picks and somehow it's like a battle royale death match in Baltimore. And I will say this, as a Chiefs fan, please give me Pittsburgh in the wild card round. Bring them in. Thank you very much. It's like getting your bye back. I think it's a tight game. So I'll just take the points and say, listen, I think it's within a field goal either way. Neither team's good. The Ravens can't stop anybody. And, you know, everybody's waxing poetic about Roethlisberger last night, which I got to tell you, in some ways almost makes me somewhat uncomfortable. But nice game. Like 3 yards an attempt on 46 attempts. Like, my God, you think at one point he just completes a 15-yarder and that's the end of three? Nope. It was the vintage way to go out for Roethlisberger, just completing passes for 2 yards a clip. Well done.
Phenomenal career, though. We'll see you. We'll see you.
Great career. But my God, he's been done for 2 years.
I got it. All right, let's do the Niners and the Rams, which is just a battle of two playoff teams. Of course, the Rams have been on an incredible run here, and locking in that two seed, which would be – I think enormous when you look at the playoffs. But anyway, they're a 5-point favorite on the spry, getting ready perhaps for a battle with the Bucs, San Francisco 49ers. Peter, 44.5, by the way.
Yeah, this line's actually moved today at WinBet to Rams -4. And I think that's because Kyle Shanahan is so great as an underdog in his career. He's 24-17 against the spread. And he's won 5 straight games against Sean McVay. We've all heard the, you know, Kyle Shanahan has Sean McVay's number. I like the 49ers with the points in this game for that reason. I think that they know, again, another team we've been talking about, the Colts, like they kind of have to win this game with the way the playoff is looking in the NFC. So now you've got a team that you've killed the last three years at this point. I think they are able to at least cover the number of +4. They've been really good against the run this year, especially last week against the Texans. They just completely shut them down. They made Davis Mills beat them. Matt Stafford has not looked great for about a month now. It depends who's going to start for the 49ers. I almost like Trey Lance more just because we don't really know how Jimmy Garoppolo's hand is going to hold up. But I think they cover. Kyle Shanahan's a beast in these kind of spots.
Totally agree. I like the Niners to cover. And I think if the Niners had a healthy quarterback, because I don't know that I trust Lance, but if Garoppolo's healthy, and I'm not a big Jimmy G guy, I would pick the Niners to win the game. The Niners just kill them. They beat them every time they play them, as you mentioned. This is also the quintessential Matt Stafford throws 3 picks and just costs them every possible thing. I am a Stafford guy, have been most of my life since he's been in the league. He has had games lately where it's like he's got the like money on the other team. Like he just throws balls right at guys. Like what is he looking at? I think they'll win because I just don't think that the Niners have any quarterback. But I'll be frank, man. I wouldn't be shocked if the Niners won. I wouldn't be blown away by that. So it's a big game because if the Niners lose and the Saints beat the Falcons, the Saints are in the playoffs and the Niners are out. So the Niners have to win, but the Rams are also trying to win to be the divisional champion and also to be a two seed. So there's a lot in the line for both sides.
So if you had to bet on that, I was going to tee that up for you, Vertaram. Who you got, the Saints or the Niners in the playoffs? If you had to bet right now,
the Saints, because I think the Niners lose close. I think the Saints find a way, and then my God, enjoy Taysom Hill in a playoff game as he just gets destroyed. Well, I got to tell you, if by some miracle it's the Saints and the Bucks. Like it's like the kryptonite from hell for the Bucks for whatever the reason, but I'm not looking forward to watching Taysom Hill throw the ball into the ground 80 times in a playoff game.
All right, let's wrap it up here. Chargers and Raiders. Chiefs fans, you rooting for the Raiders here? I know it's hard to do, but maybe it makes more sense for you. Of course, the Raiders are at home. 49. The Chargers a 3-point road favorite.
This one, I could see this one going a million different ways. Like I, this game is just so tough because we've seen the Chargers go from when they blow out the Broncos in a game they're supposed to win last week, and then the week before they lose to the Texans. So it kind of makes no sense what they've done this entire year. It's quintessential Chargers. I just don't know if they're going to blow another opportunity. The Raiders right now are 3-5 against the spread at home, and I know they've won three straight to put themselves in this position, but let's not overrate those three wins. They barely beat Nick Mullins. They barely beat Drew Lock, and then they beat the Colts last week, which I thought was a pretty good win, but again, came down to a final drive. So I think Justin Herbert's the better quarterback in this game. Chargers have more healthy guys on offense, which I think is going to help a lot. And potentially Brandon Staley, we've seen how aggressive he's been this year. Maybe that comes and actually ends up helping the Chargers in this game. I'm a big fan of the analytics. Sometimes it's the right decision. You can't just judge it off of the hindsight. I think maybe if he goes for it and it gets aggressive at some point in this game, it helps the Chargers really pull away. I'm going to take them, considering they covered the last time these two teams played. I'm going to take them to cover the 3-point spread in this one.
I never do this because I'm always about picking a side and being on that side. I'm taking the over. I have no clue who the hell's winning this football game. This game, I said it earlier on the pod, I'll say it again. Anything that happens in this football game will not surprise me. Anything. I could see the Chargers winning 38-13. I could see the Chargers getting blown out because they're the Chargers and they just lost to the Texans 2 weeks ago. I could see Derek Carr throwing for 400 yards. I could see Derek Carr throwing three picks. I could see the Chargers missing four field goals. Anything imaginable can happen in this game. It's in Vegas at the Death Star. You've got the Chargers, who are the AFC's version of the Vikings, but just like slightly more talented. The Chargers, and I said this earlier, Peter, I believe this. If the Chargers make the playoffs, I could 100% see them going into Arrowhead and beating the Chiefs. 100%. I could also see the Chiefs beating them 45-10. Like, anything is possible when the Chargers are involved. I will take the points and say I think it's within 3 points. I just think it's a bizarre game. I think the Chargers should win by like 10. I also wonder, though, the Raiders, how much does it matter they're at home in this game? They're going to be going nuts in that building. Like, does it matter? I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, but I think the Chargers should win, but it's the Chargers. So does that mean anything? I don't know. Give me the over.
All right. Hey, Peter, great job stepping in, brother. We missed Ben, but we loved you. So thanks for being here and continue your great work over at fansided.com/betsided, where they are taking over the world, damn it. So we'll see you soon again, Peter, I hope.
Thanks, guys. It was super fun.
Thanks a lot, man.
Peter Dewey, you saw the Twitter on there as I'm losing, at Peter Dewey, Peter too. Dewey.
By the way, he's also a Knicks fan, so he shares my pain.
You guys are in the scuffle right now.
We God, can get they that. Suck.
Yeah, well,
you want Julius Randle for a basketball?
Yes, I'll take Julius Randle.
Would you like him? Wait.
All right, let's run through a couple quick things on the way out here. We appreciate everybody. Quickly, division winner, most vulnerable in the wild card round. Verderam, where are you going?
I think it's Dallas. Can Dallas beat a good football team? And by the way, I also said earlier, and I believe this, I think they're dangerous too. Like they're kind of like the Chargers in that regard. They could lose to anybody, and I wouldn't blink. But they could also beat anybody, and I wouldn't be shocked. But the Cowboys are just bizarre. I don't see the Bucs losing. I don't. If the Rams are the divisional winner, they're not losing to the Saints or the Eagles. I just don't see that. The NFC's wildcard teams are so weak. And the Cowboys can play the Cardinals. So I think the Cardinals are the one team that is a very good wildcard team in the AFC. In the AFC, the Chiefs could, man. Like, they were almost my pick, but if they play the Chargers. But I think in the end, the Chiefs will beat them, even if it's a hair-raising game. I will throw this caveat out. If Buffalo plays the Colts are a nightmare for Buffalo. That is the one game. Like, if you're the Bills, that is the last team in the world you want going into that building because of the way they play. But I will say Dallas, because I think Dallas, of all the teams I just reeled off, I think is just the weakest and the most inconsistent.
I'm taking the Titans. Derrick Henry coming back, not coming back. I don't know what that looks like. Incorporating him back into the offense. That's the weakest one seed if that's how it turns out, that the AFC's thrown up in a while slash NFC. So, and plus they're going to get a bye. I would be willing to say that Tennessee is not going to be in the AFC championship game, even if they end up as the one seed.
So is your position, I'm assuming, just knowing you and how we've talked to you on, that the Chiefs will just end up hosting the AFC championship game?
That would be my – yes, that's correct. I still think they somehow, some way get there. Okay. Surprising Texans win this week and or the Titans losing their opening game in the playoffs, one of the two.
Do you think there's any chance the Texans win this week?
I do. I do. Yeah. I do. And I don't – not taking anything again. Oh, I am taking stuff away from the Titans. I respect the year that they've had. And but you're asking me what division champ am I fading? I'm going to fade the Titans.
Yeah.
So, all right, we'll see. Little slight bold take by good old Carm here. Where are the Bengals going to win their first playoff game since 1990? Let's go, Cincinnati. Come on, baby. I'd like
longest,
to see them.
Longest drought in the NFL. 1 year longer than Detroit's. I think the answer is yes. I think they will win a playoff game because – My belief is they will lose this weekend because they won't care. They'll just rest guys. They'll take a bye week. They'll be the four seed because the Bills have to play hard because they have to win the division. If I'm right about that and the Colts win as you'd expect them to, that probably leaves you with New England as the five if New England beats Miami.
Yep.
I think Cincinnati's a better team than New England is. I mean, Belichick scares the hell out of you in any game because you know he's so great that he's just capable of putting together a game plan where the Bengals are befuddled for a half. I mean, look, man, I saw him do it to Mahomes multiple times this rookie year where the Chiefs just could not figure out what the hell was going on for 30 minutes of football and then ended up losing. But I think the Bengals are just better. If the Bengals have a really good offense, you know, I've got to be fair. Going into last weekend, I thought the Bengals were good, but I didn't think they were of that caliber yet. I still think it did take an out-of-body performance by them to beat a Chiefs team that basically played like crap for 30 minutes. But they're not playing the Chiefs. They're playing the Pats in this, and I think they beat them. I think they will win the game, yes.
I'm picking the Bengals over the Pats. Let's go Cincinnati one time. Do it for all the Bengals fans.
Houday Nation.
Houday Nation.
By the way, deserves it.
Which I get confused.
30 years of this crap. Like, I'm very happy for Bengals fans. They deserve to have a team to be excited about.
Who dat is the Saints and who day is the Bengals?
Yes.
This is very challenging because I was about to say who dat. I'm like, that's the Saints.
One of these years need that to be a Super Bowl.
Who dad versus who?
That's
dad.
Right.
All right. Hey, let's get Baker in here. Who's? Hey, dude. Hey, Baker. You're a decent, competent quarterback. You good enough to throw what you're dealing with, buddy? You impact yourself. So I don't know. Brown's moving on from him. To me, it's the money on this one. How much am I getting him for? I think ultimately that's going to be what. Is the decision. I'm not signing Baker no matter what.
Right. Well, I mean, look, here's the problem. So you have him for the fifth year next year. You don't have to extend him, I'm sure it won't. But what do you do? Because I did a Spaces on this on Twitter yesterday, which, by the way, I've become a Spaces addicted. I'm Spaces addicted, right? It's a disaster. I'm on like 3-4 times. I love talking ball. It's a problem because so I think in a vacuum they should move on. I think he stinks. All right, I think he is. You know, let me not say. I don't think he stinks. I think he's an average quarterback who is very limited. I think he's Garoppolo. I think he's Tannehill. Okay, and I don't think those guys stink. So I don't want to overstate. I don't think he stinks. I think he's average, and I think everything's got to be perfect for him to succeed. And even then, if they play a really good team, he's probably not going to succeed. So I'd move on, but the problem is the draft stinks for quarterbacks. That is not too strong of a word in this case. It does stink. I've talked to people around the league a lot over the last month who feel like there's really no there's no first round guy who's going to change the franchise. Secondly, okay, so who's out there? Russell Wilson might be. Deshaun Watson, pending the legal situation, might be. I don't think Aaron Rodgers will be. But they don't have the draft capital as your teams have. Like, Miami has two firsts in 2023, so they have three over the next 2 years. The Giants have two firsts this year. The Eagles have three firsts should they want to move on from Hurst. I don't know if they will, but they could if they would, if they want to. Like, does Russell Wilson want to go to Cleveland? Does Deshaun Watson want to go to Cleveland? I don't think they do. Like, I just think they're kind of stuck with him. So I think, yes, they should move on from him in theory, but I think your best option overall, run it back, bring him back, go through the year again, hope the light bulb goes on, and then if it doesn't, then figure it out. But they're in a tough way with him, man. He is not very good.
Quarterback decisions are hard. A lot of tough ones. Always seemingly moving around the NFL. I guess maybe the Browns are at the top of the list right now. I mean, I ultimately playing it out with him, and he'll. I don't think he'll be happy with that. By the way, so but maybe he'll be fair that this is the best thing.
He's going to have to live with it because they're not giving him $40 million a year. So this is not happening.
All right, last one here. You want to talk about our teams making a mistake not firing their coaches sooner, which top of the list on that is the Chicago Bears. But I got a whole Bears take on this. Why don't you go ahead?
You know, I'll basically get out of your way. I just think, look, with the new rules now, you get a two-week head start if you want one. And I don't understand why some of these teams haven't just moved on and started this process. I don't know what they're waiting for. Like, why? But I'll cede the floor to you, Carm, if you have a take.
Well, look, in the Bears situation, you there's no rush in moving on from Matt Nagy unless you're going to reset the organization, which I wouldn't think you would do until the offseason. So if you're going to bring in John Dorsey or whoever the hell you're going to bring in here to run your football operation, Trace Armstrong's the guy who played for the Bears that's been mentioned. You have to do that first. I get that you might not get the top coach that's out there, but there are plenty of guys, if you're good at your job, that you can find to coach your football team. Ideally, you know, if there's somebody that you really want and you worry that he's going to go elsewhere, then chop to it. But the Bears aren't in that position. You got bigger problems than who's coaching the football team. You need a total reset. In New York situation, what's happening with Dave Gettleman?
He's getting canned, but apparently Joe Judge just keeping him.
So, okay. Again, you have the same deal. Who's running the Giants?
Yep.
So, and whoever that is, I don't like the philosophy. Like, this is the coach, and this is who you're going to work with, and you guys try to get along for a year.
No, it's a horrible idea.
It's a bad idea.
It's a horrible idea.
So you got it has to be get some old school there. This is the dude in charge. This is the guy who decides who the coach is. So at any rate, that's how I'm seeing this one. Get your house in order, then you can deal with the coach. So in the case of a lot of the teams, or at least those two, I don't think the rush to doing it right now is as important as a lot of people are saying. Verran, let's wrap it up here. You want to talk about your diet?
I want to talk about the struggle that is following instruction. So I've been going to the gym, I don't know, 4 to 5 days a week for the last 2.5 months. And the entire goal is not to lose weight or anything. I mean, God knows I could probably lose 10 pounds, but I'm not that concerned about that. It's more to lean out and just build muscle. And just I never had to lift weights when I was in high school because I played hockey. So it was always lower body stuff. I was never a bench press guy. I was never a big curls guy, you know, any of that stuff. So as I've gotten into my early 30s, I'm like, you know what? Like, I really should try to kind of get my body where I want it, so that going forward, I can just kind of maintain it and go from there. And so that's been like a big focus. And I got a trainer, did the whole thing. And I, you know, to use the vernacular of the young kids, you know, made gains. It's been good. That being said, I was talking to my trainer the other day, and she was like, you know, listen, if you really want to get absolute, like, peak results, like, you know, you've been eating a lot of protein, which is great. Try to eat 1 gram of protein for every pound that you weigh. Now, let me tell you something. My trainer, woman, Veronica, awesome trainer. Awesome. Love working with her. I'm ballparking this. Like, I'm not going to throw out what I think her weight is, but it's definitely like half of mine, maybe. Okay. I haven't weighed myself probably in a month, but I'm probably a good like 220, 225.
You're probably 2/4 over. Go ahead.
I mean, I'm 6'2". I'm a big guy. Like I'm not built like a beanpole, right? So used to weigh 242. So, but I mean, like, I'm at least 220, 225. So even if we go off of the idea of 200 grams of protein a day, let me tell you something. That is a chore. I'm drinking 2 protein shakes a day. I'm having a protein bar, having chicken, having fish, having meat. I can't even get to 150. I don't know how the hell I'm supposed to get to 200 grams of protein. Carm, I'm gonna be in an ambulance if I get to 200 grams of protein. Like I have no idea how this is supposed to happen. I'm hell bent on trying to get there, but I really think like if I get to 200 grams of protein, there's gonna be like some other complications I have to deal with. Like I'm gonna go into shock or something. I don't know how this is possible.
You know what's exhausting about the topic you're bringing up here? Because I spend perhaps a little bit too much of my time perusing TikTok. And you got people on there or any social media, it doesn't even matter. But I'm seeing all these things pop up. Don't eat vegetables. They have this and that in them. And okay. Like, you're going to tell me not to eat vegetables now after all we've, like, what is this, Sleeper and Woody Allen? Like, eat bacon? I don't know if anybody said that reference, but, you know, they basically said that we had everything wrong with the diet. And now you're talking to protein. I'm listening to one guy today, and he's talking about, you know, don't eat that farm raised salmon, Vertaram. That's bad for you. Get the wild cut. It'll break the pocketbook. But that's what you got to be doing.
I'm gonna eat whatever the hell they have at the store. I don't give a shit where they get the salmon from. It is crazy, right? Like there's always like a new thing, a guy. By the way, I never believe in any of that crap. Like I know protein builds muscle. So that's cool. So that's what I'm doing. And by the way, look, it's worked. I mean, I'm not by any means, you know, going to be going out, and going into any competitions, but I mean, in a lot of cases, I've more than doubled the amount of weight I can lift on different machines and whatnot in like 2.5 months. So it's been good. It's been good. And let me tell you something.
You're really gearing up for this men's hockey league and, yes. Being able to impact some retribution. Keep going. On my bad.
But like one of the things I've always wanted to be able to do is do like a set of pull-ups because, you know, I had 225, man. That ain't nothing. Like you're hauling some freight. Get up there. I used to be able to do them in high school, but I was a 190 and, you know, I played sports 6 days out of the week. And in some cases, multiple sports at the same time, you know, I play hockey and basketball or something. Like it was, you know, so it was a little bit of a different time in my life. But I want to be able to do a set of pull-ups, and I want to be able to bench press my own weight, which is still a goal that is out there. Like right now, I'm at like 175, 180, but I started at like 140, so we're getting there. We're making progress. But man, I'm telling you, that whole idea of 200 grams of protein, good Lord, Carm. I don't know that's going to happen, man. I don't know if I can eclipse like 125 on a daily basis.
How many pull-ups can you do right now?
Oh God, unassisted, probably zero, man.
Zero.
If I do it with like the underhand grip and I do it like doesn't that, count. Right? It right. Doesn't. I was gonna say no. I agree with you. It doesn't count. But like I could do a handful of them like that. But doing them like you know like you normally would, like an honest to God pull-up, none. I do the assisted pull-up machine where originally I needed like 135 pounds of assistance when I first started. Now we only need like 85 pounds of assistance. So we're getting there. I'm happy with the progress made. I'm going to go there after work today and lift for another 45 minutes. Like I actually really have enjoyed it. But son of a bitch, 200 grams of protein. I got to get that powder and just drink it straight. Like, I don't know how the hell I'm going to do this.
Yeah, I think you're doing a good job. And props to your trainer, but I don't think you need to go all the way here. You sound like you're doing the path. So congratulations, Vertaram.
It's been fun. I really have enjoyed it. And you know, they say like you're gonna see differences after 6 weeks, which is bullshit. I look the exact same, but I feel a hell of a lot stronger. I'm being somewhat facetious. Like I can see it in some places, but it's fun. It's fun to make progress, but it is also, it also is somewhat deflating when you go and you make like, you get off the bench, you know, and you just get, you hit like 175, 180, whatever the hell. And then somebody's like, oh, you, you know, can I, are you done? And yeah, yeah. And then they rack up like 280. You know, like, all right, fair enough, man. I got a long way to go.
See, that falls up for me under the yoga class. You, because I don't lift weights and I probably need to. This could be a nice 2022 thing here. I'm going to take on lifting weights again. And I used to do the, I forget what the, it was the Gravitron. That's what the machine was for the pull-ups, where that you would get assistance. I don't know what you're using, but I used to love that thing. You'd get on there, you'd pump in your level, and it would make this weird shh, and then you could do your
pull-up. Okay, that sounds fancy.
The Gravitron was a big deal. Tremendous invention. But I'll, you know, you go into a yoga class, look at that dude. Or look at her, more like. That is insane flexibility. And I mean, I'm lucky to touch my shins, let alone touch my toes. And by the way, it hurts all over. So you got, but the point is that wherever you are is that's where you are in life, Rotoram. So you should, you know, you're the fact that you're doing it, you should celebrate yourself, buddy.
Listen, first of all, I don't ever celebrate myself ever. But
that's not good, buddy. Let's get some celebration going on here.
Okay, I'm not into all this, you know. You're love not all around, you know. Everybody's great. Everybody's not great.
I didn't say you were great. I just said celebrate. Like, you're good, passable, doing it.
Listen, I'm definitely happy with the progress being made. But yeah, I'll tell you what. I'll leave it on this. You ever do that machine? I want to get this right. It's like a hip abductor. You know, you basically like you have the like your legs are kind of like a 40, like they're like in a V shape, and you squeeze in to work your thighs.
Yeah,
your
okay. Hip.
Okay. So like I said earlier.
Thank you, Gonzo.
It's right. It's about drive. It's about power, baby. So I was with my wife, I don't know, maybe a month ago, right? And we're there, and I was telling her how, I was bragging, but it is true. Like when I played hockey, all we did was lower body stuff. So like, even though I couldn't bench press probably in high school, my God, I couldn't probably bench press more than 120 pounds. I could max out like any leg machine you could find. I genuinely, you know, leg press, you throw 400, 500 pounds, I could do it. Like I really could. So we get the abductor machine and I was like, I have not done this machine probably in a decade. Right. I was like, I bet you I could still max out that machine. Like a whole set, not just one time, like a whole set of them. So she was like, okay, you're on. So I did it. I jumped on it, maxed the thing out, no problem. Bang out 12 of them, right? Then just because I'm me, I'm like, I'll do three sets of them. Because that'll, you know, just to really complete the whole look. I went to get out of bed the next day. I literally couldn't feel my legs. They hurt so bad. I had to sleep for the only time in my life. I had to sleep with two pillows between my knees to keep my legs so they were straight. Because if they had any kind of an angle, it was like I thought I tore both muscles for like 4 days. I couldn't get the mail. Like I couldn't walk far enough to get the mail. It was a lesson in humility as I've gotten older. But I did max it out. But I was in agony for 4 days after it.
This really has been a fascinating pod today. We learned that Rotoram assaulted a guy in high school. Today is doing three sets of 12 of the full rack. That's insane. Congratulations. Like your determination to do something in the moment is fascinating. Think about what you put yourself through on the back end to do it. That's big time. And then you got Carm over here. You're truly talking about yoga and tennis, which tennis gets a bad rap for now. It's
been a ride in 71 minutes.
Yeah, it really has. Hey, and by the way, you should talk to Michael Zach, who's a phenomenal workout guru over there. He's a very strong, powerful man who can probably help you out.
Also, great work. And Gonzo, that's hilarious. Yeah, that Matt Connor thing at the end of the Arrowhead Addict podcast. If you're watching this, you're like, what? Go watch the end of the Arrowhead Addict podcast. That was one of the funniest things I've ever been a part of in a podcast. Just out of nowhere, Matt Connor just like beams in and just goes, I'm ass. And that was it. No idea. Like there's no point of reference. Like nobody knew what the hell was happening. It was phenomenal. We laughed at him for a solid 2 minutes before we signed off. So check that out.
You guys are doing a great job over there, brother. Keep building it. We'll try and do the same here at Stackbox. Thanks for being here. Click that like button. Give us the subscribe. We need it. We love you. And happy new year, everybody. Can't wait to see you next week as we'll be able to tee up the playoffs. Verderam, good time as always, buddy.
You as well, Carm. Thank you. Thanks, everybody. We'll be back next week. Playoffs, 1 week away.
See you then.